chapter 7, verse 25 of the Bhagavad Gita, with your moderator, Dr. Anil Mehta, at the Bakersfield Chinmay Mission.
So we are in chapter 7, almost to the end, where he's talking about the sense objects or the objects in the world, whatever a person desires, that person gets. And if the person desires finite objects, he gets finite objects, but then the result is finite. Whatever is temporary, antavattu phalam tesham, that was in verse number 23. So people who just want small toys in the world, yeah, they will get them. But the one who wants the eternal prize, you know, gets me. That's what the Lord says. And then he talks about his nature, that he is the unmanifest Lord who has appeared on this earth. He appeared as Krishna, as Jesus, as Buddha, as Ram. But people think of them to be ordinary humans. But he says, no, I'm not an ordinary human being. I'm a manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And I am, my nature is avyayam. It is immutable. I never change. Nothing happens to the Lord even when the world is created. And it is anuttamam. It is the highest. There is nothing higher than him, nothing greater than the Lord. So today he will continue talking about his own nature, because the seventh chapter talks about the Lord. It's not that he wants to brag about his own nature, but he wants to tell us why I should know the Lord. What is the benefit of knowing him? Why I should know him? And who is he? So that is what we shall study. And because the seventh, eighth, and ninth chapter are the essence of the Upanishads, which talk about this one reality that is the entire universe. And so that is why this chapter talks a lot about this immutable reality that we call God, or we can call Father in heaven. So 7th chapter, verse number 25.
Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudhoyam nabhijanati loko mamajam avyayam.
He says, I am na prakasha. I am the one that is not. Prakasha means light. Here prakasha means I am not visible. I cannot be seen sarvasya by anybody, everybody, nobody in this world can see me. Why? Yoga maya samavritaha. Samavritaha means covered. I am covered by the maya, by the delusory power of the maya. I am covered, and that's why the world cannot see me. People cannot see me. And what is maya? We shall talk a little bit about that. We have talked about it in the past. We'll again discuss it a little bit. And mudha means deluded. Loka, in the second line, he says, mudha loka. So this deluded world, I am this deluded world, na abhijanati. This deluded world, all these deluded people do not know. Na abhijanati, whom? Mam, I, the Lord says, who I am, ajam, I am unborn. You know, people say, well, when was the Lord born? What was his date of birth? He was never born. He was always there. Even before time started, even before the universe was created, before everything, the Lord was there. And then he created this concept of time and this universe. And then when this universe merges, ends, the Lord will still be there. And then again, a new cycle of creation will start. So this creation and destruction has been going on for billions and billions and billions and trillions of years, because each cycle lasts about 4 billion years, where the universe is created, sustained, and then merges back into him. And we don't know how many cycles have gone on before this and how many will go on. You know, the world is, that's why they say the world is anadi. There was no beginning of the world, because when the Lord came, we don't know when the Lord was, and we don't know when the world was created. So he says ajam, and then he says avyayam. I am immutable. I am changeless. Because everything else that is happening in this world is changing. But there is one reality that does not change, and that is him. And that is, again, the Lord is not somebody far away, but is in my own heart as the life, the consciousness, as Om. So now he says, I am not known to everybody. And why is that? You know, people say, I want to know God. I want to know who he is. I want to reach him. I want to know him. Yeah, but what do you do with your life? He says, Monday to Saturday, I'm so busy, you know, making, working. And then what are you doing? Collecting dollars, collecting these green papers. So Monday to Saturday, he's busy. And then Sunday morning, he says, I go to church. What does he do? He goes to church from 10 to 11, sits in the third row from the back. And there also, when the priest is repeating, all he's thinking, oh Lord, give me that. You know my competitor, you know how wicked and cruel and deceitful and cheatful he is. Make sure his business goes down and make sure my business goes up. So you are in the church, but for all practical purposes, you are still in the marketplace. You have not progressed at all. You know, Monday to Saturday, you're in the marketplace, and Sunday in church, again, you're in the market. So when all the time you are spending thinking about the world and money, not that there is anything wrong with making money, but if that is going to be your whole occupation 7 days a week, then how do you expect to know that eternal reality? Why? Because we do not turn our attention to him. Our attention is all the time turned into the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And if that is all I am going to do, then how can I know that reality that is in my heart? And then he says, I am covered by Maya. Now, what is Maya? Maya is, the Lord says, it is my own divine Maya. It is the power of delusion. Power of delusion. Now, how does the power of Maya delude? I'll just give you briefly about that. It says through the three gunas. There is a shloka in the Gita. It says, Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. My Maya is very difficult to cross. It is made up of the three gunas. What are the three gunas we have talked about before? Sattva is the pure noble. Rajas is the passion or ambition, and tamas is the ignorance, the darkness. And what happens is that a man who is under the influence of these gunas, with the tamas, his knowledge gets diluted. He does not know. And the rajas is the passionate. He's doing, just to get more and more and more. And in the process of trying to do more and more, he cannot stay in sattva, which is the pure, noble gunas. So the Maya is consisting of these three gunas. Sattva, which is pure. Rajas, which is passion, which is aggression, which is desire. And tamas, which is ignorance. Now the Lord says, Devi hi esha gunamayi. This Maya of mine is divine. And it is made up of the three gunas. And it is very difficult to cross. But Devi Hyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam Eva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So this Maya is difficult to cross, but those who approach me can cross this Maya easily. And what is this Maya? Maya, they say, is the divine power which created this whole universe. This whole universe was created by this divine power, which is the power of delusion, where the Lord created this world and then he hid behind it. Now this universal Maya in the individual, in each person, presents as vasanas, as ignorance. Maya is actually ignorance. It is ignorance of my true nature. I, in fact, in reality, I am that divine consciousness. Each and every one of us is that divinity, but not knowing that I am a divine creature, I think myself to be this ordinary individual, this body, mind, and intellect. And I chase after the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. So vasanas is also another word for ignorance. So Maya in the cosmos, in the whole universe, is the creative force. But in the individual, it is the ignorance or the or the vasanas. And what do we mean by ignorance? And what do we mean by Maya is the creative force? So as I said, ignorance means I do not know my divine nature. I think myself to be the individual body. Then I think of myself as being separate from all the others. But what do we mean by the creative force? Yeah, the whole Maya created this whole universe. But how in me is Maya the creative force? If you think about it, each and every one of us creates our own world. You say, I didn't create the world. No, God created. No, we create our own world. Now, if there is an alcoholic, whom does he associate with? Other alcoholics, they get together, they meet on Friday night at the bar and they drink and they know all the latest, you know, drinks and all the combinations of fruit juices and different drinks you combine. And then they have these fancy names. You know, I don't even know some of them, Long Island tea and things like that. And so that's all the world they live in. While a basketball fan, you know, he's very excited. Why? Because the NBA playoffs are going on. And so morning to evening, he's glued to the TV. He gets all his friends, come on over, the Lakers are playing today. So they all gather at his house and they have food and then they, you know, watch the game and then they comment, you know, this guy was not playing good. So his whole life is spent in associating with other sports people. Yeah, on the Monday to Friday he's an accountant. So Monday to Friday he creates his world of accounting where he meets with other accountants, where they deal with numbers. So each one of us, and a religious person, a spiritual person who wants to know about God, what does he do? He comes to study groups like these. He goes to the church or temple. He meets saintly people. He reads good books. So each and every one, a saint creates a saintly world. An accountant creates an accountant's world. A sportsman creates a sportsman world. An alcoholic creates an alcoholic world. A criminal, whom does he associate with? He doesn't associate with policemen. He associates with other criminals so that we can plan and learn the greatest techniques, the newest techniques, how to break into the banks. So each and every one of us creates our own world of joys and sorrows and this. And the creativity or total creativity of all of us put together, not only the humans, but the animals and plants and fish and birds, that creative power is called Maya. So this total Maya is the total creative force which creates this universe. And why is it difficult to cross over? Because Maya is the ignorance, is my delusory power. And how does Maya delude us? We talked about it through tamas. It deludes us. And then because of that, it creates rajas. It creates a lot of activity. And so I am constantly trying to just work in the world of objects. And Gurudev in his commentary says, he says, if in the daytime, say you watched on TV, you watched about Miss Universe, and she was in the swimsuit, and how all the girls came, and then how she won, then at night, what are you going to dream of? Obviously, you're going to dream about Miss Universe. But on the other hand, if you watched a video about a saint's life, Tukaram's life, or, you know, there are some beautiful Mirabai's life, or about Saint Francis, and then you admire how great he was, then that is what you're going to dream about. That is going to be your life. So they say that this Maya is very difficult to cross because it is his own power. But those who approach me, when you approach the Lord with devotion, can easily cross it. And within the individual, it is the life principle, the self, the consciousness. And once I turn my direction, then automatically my delusion ends. And that's what we do in meditation. When you sit for meditation, or when you sit for puja, or even when you're doing service, if you're thinking about the Lord, then slowly, slowly your selfishness reduces, your vasanas reduce, and then the Lord manifests through us. And that is what we see when we come in the presence of these saints. When you sit in front of them, you think like you are sitting in front of the Lord himself. Recently, we had the pleasure of listening to Prabodhji, and he's such a young person. He must be, what, about 30 years old? And I asked him, I said, at such a young age, how do you know so much? And you sit in front of him, and he's so clear. This knowledge is so, and it can only come from personal experience. It cannot come from studying the books. So that's what they say. When you meet these saints, you are in the presence of the Lord, because they have no selfishness, they have no individual ignorance, they are directly in touch with their divine self. Yes.
When I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, it also explained that, from our previous birth, we've been carrying the vasanas.
Yes.
So to answer your question, at a young age, how do you become so enlightened? Maybe so, through his previous lives that his vasanas have been decreasing.
Right, right.
You know, so he is able to reach to God easily at a younger age than we are able to.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has to do with previous birth. And now in this birth, I have certain vasanas, but if I make a conscious effort to reduce my selfishness, to get the right knowledge, to do the service of the Lord and to meditate, then in my next life, hopefully I will be in that kind of a situation where I can, progress. That's what Sri Krishna says in the 6th chapter, that wherever you are in this life, the life is not the end. It is just a station in the journey, just as a railway station comes. And the next life, you continue a journey from that same station. It's not that from here you're going to LA to San Diego. You reach LA and then next morning, you're not going to start from Bakersfield. You'll start from LA and then take a train and go to San Diego. So that is the journey of life. Thank you. That's a very nice question. About Maya, I had a very beautiful story I heard recently. I'll talk about it. There was this Saint Naradji. Naradji, for people from India know that, but this is a very enlightened saint who actually was so evolved that he could travel in his body from earth, even go to heaven, even meet with the gods in heaven. He could go to all the lower worlds, hells and everything. He could travel, that great a saint he was. And he was a great friend of God Krishna. Krishna is a manifestation of the Lord. And so one day he and Krishna were going for a walk. And he said, everything else is clear to me, but Lord, one thing I don't understand. He said, what? He said, what is this Maya of yours? This Maya, they say, deludes everybody. And I don't understand what is this Maya. And I don't understand how you being one, the Lord being one, how can you create this variety of the worlds? How did you create this world? And then having created this world, how did you disappear where we can't see you? And what is this divine Maya? Please explain to me. So Krishna just smiled, didn't say anything. He said, okay, that's fine. So as they were walking, they came. So Krishna sat under a tree. He says, it's very hot. Naradji, can you please go get me a glass of water? Oh, Naradji said, of course, Lord, I'll be happy to do that. So the village was about a quarter of a mile. So he quickly walked and Krishna was sitting under the tree. And while going, it was hot and he was also sweaty. So he said, I'll get 2 glasses of water, one for the Lord and one for myself. So he walks into the village and the first door he knocks at, and the door opened and this most beautiful, gorgeous, beautiful girl opened that door, and he looked at her and he just started stammering and he didn't know what to say. And he, instead of saying, will you get me a glass of water, he said, will you marry me? So his whole idea changed. He didn't know what was there. So she said, yeah, I'll be happy. He was very handsome and very, looking very illustrious. He was a great saint. And so she said, of course, I'll marry you. So they got married. And then he started living with her. And then shortly, he had lots of children. And then the children grew up. And they went to, got educated. And then they got married. And then he had grandchildren. By now, he was very prosperous. He was very rich, and the whole village, he owned pretty much. He was a rich landowner, and everybody came and bowed to him, and he was very powerful, and he was the patriarch of this big family of 100 people. By then, his family had grown to 100 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins, nephews, all of it. And then he was in a very good position, because he was very powerful, and he continued to be the ruler of almost of that village. And then one day a great flood came, and the flood was so powerful that all the homes in the village got destroyed. There was a terrible, the river broke, and everybody died. His whole family died, only Naradji survived. Everybody in his family got flooded, and then he started crying, oh Lord, where are you, where are you, where are you? And the moment he said that, he was standing in front of Krishna, and Krishna said, Naradji, where's my water? You went to bring water, where is it? So he said, water? Yeah, didn't you go just now to bring water? And you are back and you didn't even bring my water. And then he realized, oh my God, it is the divine power of the Maya of the Lord that made me see 100, almost 40, 70, 80 years of my life past, where I had children, grandchildren. And I was so deluded that I thought myself to be that rich landowner, and that was my wife and those were my children. So then he fell at the feet of the Lord and says, your Maya, Lord, only you know. Nobody else can know. That's what he says. My Maya can only be crossed when you approach me. And approach me as with love, with devotion. So that's what they say, that those who spend all their time because of their ignorance, because of their desires towards the world, then obviously that is what they get. But they forget that in reality, everything is a play of that one consciousness. And in that understanding, if they understand that I am the consciousness and this whole universe is a play, the Lord has created this beautiful world in which I am also there. I am there as this body, mind, and intellect. I am there as this ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. And this is a role I have been given to play. I have been given a role of Hansa or Anil or Radhika, whatever role I am playing. And all these world, they're all none other than me. You know, this is me alone. The Lord alone has created this whole universe as me, as I alone. And that is in reality, that in fact is the truth. And so they say, then continue to do your duties in the world, but turn your attention always. Keep your attention on the Lord. Do not think that this world is real. Do not give too much importance. This is just a creation. It is just a play. It is just a game. And in that play, whatever part I have been given, I do it to the best of my ability. But constantly remembering the Lord. When I'm cooking in the kitchen, I remember the Lord. When I'm praying in the temple, I remember the Lord. When I'm taking care of my patients or my customers, I remember the Lord. When I constantly remember him and act in the world, then he says, then you can easily cross this Maya, because it is nothing but an illusion. It is just an illusory force. And people say, oh, your Maya is so strong. It is impossible to cross. It is impossible to cross if an individual tries to do it by himself. And that's what they say, that this ignorance is very difficult to overcome. You need the Lord, and that is why they say you need your own effort and you need the Lord's grace. But the Lord's grace will not just come. When you put the effort, then he supplies the grace. In fact, those who are very advanced in meditation know that they say that in your meditation, when you go deep within, then you come to a obstacle. You come to a point where you can't go any further. A human cannot go beyond that level of excellence, level of accomplishment. And there, when he totally gives up his ego and totally surrenders, then the Lord picks him up. So that remaining, that small distance, he has to. So I can do so much, and then the Lord's grace. But if you sit down and say, I'm not going to do anything, Lord, you pick me up. And he'll say, you don't want to be picked up. You know, you want to be just, you know, lost in the world, and you want to keep on playing. Then just keep on doing it. Then do not ask me to help. So they say, you put the effort, and then he supplies the grace. His grace is always flowing towards us. It is our mind is not open. Our mind is shut towards the Lord. It is only open towards the world. You know, there's a beautiful bhajan. It says, man ki aankhe khol, Baba, man ki aankhe khol. Open the eyes of your mind towards the Lord, because right now our mind is only looking at the world. So turn your attention and you will find his grace is always there. Just in the form of a river, it is constantly flowing. You just have to become aware of that. So that is what he says, that people do not know me, but I am the unborn, the immutable reality. And even though everything is happening because of my presence, they still say, where is God? I don't see God. Have you seen God? The fact that you are asking, have you seen God, is because God is within. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able, even if you say, I don't see God, there is no God in this world. Even to say that, you get power from the Lord. So how can you say? That is what he says, we are muda, we are stupid, we are deluded when we say that we do not know him, we do not see him. He is there constantly, he is there with us right now. That is why I am speaking, that is why all of you are listening. That is the God himself. Comments?
So Maya is like a cloud which comes between the self and the
yes.
observer.
Right.
You cannot see the sun because of the
cloud. Exactly. Very good.
Cloud comes in.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very nice. I was going to do that with the next sloka, but that's good. Yeah, it is the cloud that covers the sun. Right. Thank you. Yeah.
So that's the tamas and all that. That would be what Maya is?
Right. The tamas, the rajas and sattva.
Okay.
Right. So it is made of these three gunas, and this whole world is made up of three gunas. Like we are a mixture of sattva and rajas and tamas. We are a mixture of those three qualities. And that is why each one of us, nobody is purely good or purely bad or purely in between. We are a mixture. But in the saints, the sattva is predominant. They have totally large amount of sattva and they have very little rajas and tamas. While in us, most of us have a lot of rajas, and then there are some who are the criminals and the drug addicts who are just predominantly tamasic. And they have very little. And they have rajas, but their rajas is only for their selfishness. So their sattva in them is very low. So yes, each one of us is a mixture. And the goal of spirituality is to progress from tamas, from laziness to rajas, activity, and from rajas ultimately to purity.
After purity also you have to go beyond purity, basically.
Yes, yes. Purifying your mind is a preparatory.
Yeah.
By purifying your mind, how do you purify? By service, by devotion, and by right knowledge. So slowly you reduce the vasanas. Slowly you reduce your... So the vasanas are the impurity, the selfishness, the desires. And through service, through love, and through knowledge, you slowly, slowly reduce. But then you don't stop there. Then you ultimately have to know, who am I? And knowledge is very important. Unless you have the knowledge, who am I, you will not, then you will remain at that pure level. But finally, to the final experience comes. That's why they say, in the Gita, it says, nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. In this world, there is no greater purifier than knowledge. So knowledge is very important. That's why studying the scriptures and meeting with saints is very beneficial.